It's still real to me, damn it!
Everybody, welcome to this week's edition of the Still Real Tuss Show, episode number 674 for January 12th, 2023. Welcome to this week's edition of SRTU. I am one half of the show. I am Jeff Peck, joined every single week by co-host, the one and only Dr. Trey Franklin. Dr. Trey, there is nothing short for us to discuss this week, my friend.
Yeah, like you would think coming out of a holiday break, news might be kind of slow, but no, we're not going to do that. Not to mention, you mentioned me, I got my other co-host with me, Sammy Franklin, so I'm sure you'll hear him chime in. He's been very upset by a lot of the news that's been going on as well, so you'll probably hear him screech and yell at some point during the podcast, so just be prepared. Your ears may bleed from how loud he can get at times.
We are weeks away from Sammy Franklin's official Royal Rumble pick, which is a thing that we commonly do here on the podcast, Dr. Trey. I know a lot of people are looking forward to it, but the last 3 weeks we have been in holiday programming schedule. Pull back the curtain. Dr. Trey and I pre-recorded a lot of that stuff, had a good 3 week break during the holidays and some time to recharge the batteries. Usually this first quote normal show out of the holiday break is one that is like, oh, let's recap what we missed. I literally wrote that down the last time we sat down and recorded the show, and I like captured a whole bunch of different stories over the last couple of weeks while we've been in holiday programming schedule that we'll talk about, whether it be Dragon Lee joining NXT, AEW going on the road and their media rights deal and that potentially is coming up here soon and blah, blah, blah. And I just figured it would be like a recap. Everything that we missed the last 3 weeks. Charlotte wins the women's SmackDown Women's Championship. She's back. You know, we're looking towards the Rumble. But boy, oh boy, Dr. Trey, late last week, that all went to crap as Vince McMahon is officially back in World Wrestling Entertainment. He's back. A sale of WWE is possibly happening. And uncertainty has arose in WWE right now as Sammy is so saying right now. Dr. Trey, I mean, we literally just talked about this on the podcast. We did our bold predictions for 2023, and your bold prediction was Vince McMahon makes a WWE television appearance. Obviously, that was pre-recorded weeks before this actually came out, the news of his return. So now you're like very, very close to that actually coming to fruition very, very quickly. Vince is back. We'll recap everything that has gone on in this entire story. But your initial thoughts. Vince is back with WWE.
Shock, awe, confusion, nervous. Like, I Sammy says we. I mean, it's really been a roller coaster. Like, this has been so tumultuous. And everything has happened in the last week since, you know, the news broke that Vince was trying to come back, let alone staging a coup, and then the rumor reports of the sale. Like, I think as a WWE fan, I've ran the gambit of emotions right now. Like, I've literally been all over the place with this. And right now, it's just, like, nervous dread as to what's going to happen, because right now, we're just waiting for the next shoe to drop. Like, this has been so fast, so quick, and so out of left field that I think we all got blindsided by it. like you said, the upside, hey, I might get a bold prediction right, but in reality with this whole situation, like, it's a sense of dread as a WWE fan waiting for the next shoe to drop.
So let's recap it here, folks. Vince announces his intent to return. Then Vince reinstates himself and George Berrios and Michelle Wilson, former co-presidents of WWE as early as, I believe, March 2020, to the WWE Board of Directors. Several other Board of Directors step down. Stephanie McMahon steps down as co-CEO of WWE. Nick Khan becomes the sole CEO of WWE. Triple H remains chief content officer of WWE for now, I guess. Vince becomes the executive chairman of WWE's board of directors per a unanimous vote by the board. Rumors of WWE being sold to the Saudi Arabia Public Investment Fund broke late Tuesday night and then was debunked by Wednesday morning. The Securities and Exchange Commission, also known as the SEC, not the football conference, would not comment on a potential investigation involving Vince McMahon and WWE. The board of directors sent a letter to Vince McMahon in response to his desire for a return back in late December by stating, quote, government investigations, end quote, are taking place regarding Vince's conduct with the U.S. Attorney's Office and SEC. Boy, I mean, Dr. Trey, I respect Vince McMahon and everything that he's done for professional wrestling. But if there was ever an unwelcomed return to professional wrestling for the guy that has made wrestling what it is today possible, this is it. I mean, I've been loving what WWE's been doing lately. It appears that the business is booming right now. Everything felt very, very good. He returns, and in a week's time, there is so much uncertainty. There are so much storms brewing right now. Sales. Is Vince coming back to creative? Could WWE go back to a private entity again? I mean, this is such a black eye to WWE as a business right now. As a product, time will tell. But as a business entity, I can't believe I'm a fan of this shit.
Yeah, I've been racking my brain for the last couple of days in anticipation of the show, trying to think of a comparison anywhere in sports, politics. I mean, it's you know, as you know, I guess I'm registered as a Republican, but I'm more of an independent. But this is like Trump announcing he's running for president again, and everybody just kind of groans. You know, it's like, seriously, dude, we just, you know, a lot of us, you know, a lot of Republicans like you, but seriously, we don't want to deal with this again. It's literally just like the worst news that you could get. It's like if you were working for a company and you have a boss that you absolutely hate and he leaves the company and everything's all great and well, and then all of a sudden they go, hey, you know what? Things are well and great. Let's bring back the last guy that we had. Like Sammy, like you can hear him. He's upset about it. It's just, it's one of those things where you're just like, look, we just gave you your flowers. That doesn't mean we want you back. Like, ride off into the sunset, play with your grandkids, play with your, you know, 30-year younger girlfriend. Like, just have fun. You know, go do it. But to stage what is literally kind of a blood coup to come back into power to basically set yourself up as like, if there's going to be a sale, if there's going to be any kind of media rights, it's all going through me. Like, that is just the worst news. And then it's like, this is still on top of, you know, the sex scandal. It's on top of the SEC filings. It's literally like having the next door neighbor you hate show up and crash your dinner party and not want to leave until he gets the biggest piece of food on the plate.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, I would imagine that most people know how Vince got back on the board. But, you know, just for sake of the podcast here, just a recap still. So Vince is has the most shareholding in the company, about 80%. Belongs to Vince McMahon, so he's the highest power and all that stuff. And as Dr. Trey pointed out, he held up a potential renegotiation for media rights deals that he would not approve anything if he wasn't brought back to the board. This is a huge power play playing out in the public eye. It's a detriment to Vince McMahon's legacy in my eyes. I mean, I don't know how Vince gets recepted by wrestling fans other than like, you've worn out your welcome. I mean, thank you. Like Dr. Trey said, everybody gave him his flowers in July. They were like, wow, we can't believe he's going out like this. He's retiring, but it's the right thing to do. You know, as time goes on, time heals all wounds. We will celebrate the legacy, the career, and everything that Vince McMahon did. But this latest turn of events is just narcissistic, psychotic, stupid. And I can't believe it's freaking legal how this all took place. I mean, you're hearing now that shareholders in WWE are, one in particular in Delaware, I guess, is suing Vince McMahon because, and we'll see where it goes, it's a class action lawsuit, because he doesn't have the shareholders' best intentions in mind. And I could not agree more about that. I mean, how is a guy who was retired and now is holding the company hostage having the best interest in the company's future in mind? You know, we've heard that Vince is out of touch. Vince is senile. Vince has this vindictive side. All those different entities right now, Dr. Cherry, playing out in the public eye. I mean, what? Has he destroyed his legacy by this last potential chapter in his life and career?
I don't see how it's not damaged, you know, to the fullest extent. I mean, it's one thing if he had been forced out and a different family or different people had taken over. It was literally his daughter and his son-in-law running this company. He pulled the power play on his own family. Like that to me is just the craziest thing. And we, you know, we sat here back in July and talked about, hey, you know, that Vince Linda marriage is probably just on paper alone. And, you know, after, what was it, SummerSlam, and Shane's out of the company. And like right now it was down to just, you know, Stephanie and Triple H running the company with the McMahon legacy. And then he pulls this, and then it's like, how do you rebound from this? Like, what was Christmas dinner like at the McMahon family residence? Because those rumors were already there. It's like, it's the most dysfunctional, like you said, narcissistic, sociopathic power play I have ever seen in my life. And I've been on this earth 45 years, and I've seen, you know, great families have inner strife, whether it was, you know, the Waltons or the Clintons or the Bushes or the royal family of England. Like, we've seen narcissistic, sociopathic power plays within families, but nothing to this extent where he literally cut the legs out from his own family just for the sake of a profit. And I think that's going to be one of those things that just totally ruins his legacy, you know, going forward. I mean, this is in, I don't know where you rank this, Jeff. Like, this is, to me, is up with the Joe Paterno scandal in a sense. Mm-hmm. And maybe not as evil as what was going on under Paterno's watch, but just in the sense of just turning a blind eye and not giving a crap and, you know, like I said, just literally cutting the legs out. Like, you remember the speech he gave when he brought the NWO into WWE, and that's mm-hmm. all I've been replaying in my mind is, if this company's going to be the one that dies, I'm going to be the one that kills it. Mm-hmm. Like, that's been playing over and over my head the last week and a half, 2 weeks, since all this stuff started to come out.
Yeah, I mean, if Vince thinks that the best interest of the company is his return, and he is sadly mistaken, the company was not fledging at all. It was, like I said, booming. Some of the best content we've seen produced by WWE in a long time. We've been praising the creative. It felt like WWE, even as late as last week's podcast, was pulling away from AEW and all other competition here in the United States when it came to the world of professional wrestling. And they were poised to have a very, very strong 2023 if that trend continued. And now there's a lot of, you know, concern a week later because of the return of Vince McMahon. I get it internally. Stephanie and Nick Khan and Triple H are trying to tell the employees everything's going to be okay, everything's going to be fine. But then when Stephanie walks away and she writes in her response about 8 months ago, I took a leave of absence, and within a few weeks, unexpectedly had the opportunity of a lifetime. I had the privilege to return as the co-CEO and chairwoman of the board of WWE. I cannot put into words how proud I am to have led what I consider to be the greatest company in the world, working alongside a remarkable leadership team and one of the strongest executives I have known in my co-CEO, Nick Khan. Our founder, Vince McMahon, has returned as executive chair and is leading an exciting process regarding strategic alternatives. And with Nick's leadership and Paul Triple H Levesque as chief content officer, I'm confident WWE is in the perfect place to continue to provide unparalleled creative content and drive maximum value for shareholders. Moving along here in the statement she released, I look forward to cheering on WWE from the other side of the business, where I started when I was a little kid and as a pure fan. I will always remain dedicated to WWE. I truly love our company, our employees, our superstars, and our fans. And I'm grateful to all of our partners. Thank you for everything. Then, now, forever, together. Steph. So she goes back in exile, right? Away from WWE, which she took the leave of absence. And, of course, there's, you know, different interpretation here. Did she step away because of her dad back then and knew what was coming and what obviously knew what was coming because she knew the investigation was taking place, didn't agree with it, saw it as a black eye, and left? And then when her dad left, she felt like, okay, this is the time for us to take over and do the right thing for the company. Now he returns and she leaves again. I can only imagine what this is like behind the scenes, just from the outside looking in and our own way of interpreting this. It's a bloodbath right now. It's like, where does it stop, Dr. Trey? I mean, should we be prepared for Triple H to no longer be the chief content officer? I mean, if that happens to me, I don't know if I could watch WWE ever again at this point. I know that's dramatic, but let's be real. I mean, this is a huge slap in the face to wrestling fans.
I mean, really, we were struggling with the product all the way up through June.
Mm-hmm.
Like there were spots that might have been good, but overall, I don't think we felt good about the product. And then over the last 6 months, it's done a complete 180. And you know, Raw has become watchable for the entire 3 hours. You know, and SmackDown's been really good. And then you know, think about all these people that Triple H brought back to the company in the last 6 months, and they were all people who were let go under Vince. Like, what is going through their minds like right now? Like, I just got brought back to this company because I respect and admire the leadership of the people in place, and now the guy who just fired me is coming back into power. Like, it's got to be just, you know, worst-case scenario mindset running through the locker room, running through production, like, you know, everything, all these great, you know, changes in modernizations and the way the company kind of works through stuff. And I mean, we just had Shinsuke Nakamura wrestle the Great Muta at a non-WWE show. That would have never happened under the Vince watch. You know, and like all this stuff that they've been kind of progressing towards, that fear has got to set in that it's almost like going back to the Stone Age, so to speak. And it's crazy to say that because it's only been 6 months, but the company's been completely changed in the last 6 months, and it's like, great, do we really want to step backwards just because we have a maniacal, senile leader coming back into the fold?
We're going to talk about the sale here momentarily, potential sale of WWE momentarily, but some things here. I mean, this goes in a lot of different directions. One, right, Dr. Trey? One, it stays the way it is. Vince is the executive chairman. Triple H continues to run content, and we don't notice anything on television. And the shows are still very, very good and productive. And the strategic alternatives that Vince is reportedly focusing on, he continues to work on, come to fruition or whatever. The second thing is that he does return to creative, overthrows Triple H, takes over content again, and we're back to mid-July WWE all over again. And then I think the third thing here is, and we can't lose sight of this, is that SEC is potentially investigating Vince McMahon. The government is investigating Vince McMahon and WWE right now. I can imagine that they're probably not happy with what has taken place with the board of directors over the last week or so, which tells me, you know, Vince has beaten the federal government once, but I don't think he can do it again. It feels like there's another shoe that's going to drop. And he is taking WWE down with him in the process, which is very, very selfish and raw. No pun intended. But where do you see this play out, Dr. Trey? How does this proceed forward here in the coming months? And do you agree with my estimation on the potential outcomes of this entire story?
Yeah, I believe the three you listed is probably It's probably gonna be one of the three. To me, the fourth option, and we may have gotten a preview of this a couple of days ago with the, the news reporting of WWE being sold, is if Vince knew the SEC was investigating him and he's basically out of power, and the only thing he has to rely on is the source of income of the shares of WWE, and with an SEC filing and a deep investigation, more than likely the stocks would fall. If he could jump back into power and quick sell the company to maximize the profits before the SEC gets done with their investigation, then he would make, a huge windfall of money. Mm-hmm. So there is that potential. That's kind of what I thought had happened this past week with the news report of WWE being sold, was Vince jumped back in to maximize the most amount of money he can make on something he created to get out before the other shoe dropped. So, but I think it was all, I don't know how close the sale was. I don't know how anything of that, that nature, but is it a test run? Was it a way to kind of put out a news report to see what the feedback would be, to see how the SEC would react? It's kind of like, when you're in football and you put the guy in motion to try to draw the defense offside and see what they're putting out there. That's what it kind of thought to me. I was like, it feels like they're just waiting to see, hey, if we try this, what would the SEC do? If we put this out there, how would the company react? How would the stocks happen? How would all that stuff done? Just to kind of gauge the marketplace. Because, if you're Vince, I stay out of creative just because I see the response. I see that, hey, I can focus my energy on finding a partner to sell it to. I can, find an angle just to work the media rights, and Triple H seems to be handling creative pretty well, but he's also a maniacal egomaniac. So, he could just literally take over everything and fly the plane right directly into a mountain.
Not talking about the sale yet here, but I mean, for you, Dr. Trey, would you walk away from being a fan of WWE and a supporter of the product if Vince returned to creative content power? Because I would. I really truly feel like I would.
Yeah, I would probably just do kind of like the whole, peruse the internet to see the results of a show. Because it's a weird thing. Like, you and I run this podcast. You and I have been lifelong wrestling fans. There are guys in that company that we're diehard fans of. I have, people that I'm friendly and acquainted with that work for the company. I would never wish ill will on them, but it would be really, really hard to support a company when you see all this happen and you see the trajectory they are on, to then see somebody come in and basically just run it right off the road. So I don't think I could. I mean, look, I actually bought WWE merchandise for the Christmas holidays. I haven't done that in quite a few years.
Wow.
But you see the way the company's been going, you're like, man, I can really support this. It's been really great. It's been proactive. It's been modernized. It's fitting in with where modern society and corporate roles have gone. And then you hear this and you're just like, I don't know if I can back this company. And it may drive me out of wrestling fandom almost altogether, because I'm not really a fan of the other product right now either. So I almost feel like this would be like just another 2012 for us, where we're just like, hey, should we keep doing this? Like, it might drive our fandom from wrestling completely away.
Let's talk about the sale here. If we think WWE would be sold, and if so, to whom? Let's start there before we go through the timeline of events and some of the latest on this entire story, Dr. Trey. Do you think WWE will be sold this year? And if so, who will be the owners?
The way it's headed now, I do think it'll be sold. And it went from, we've been talking about this for almost half the time we've been on the air. Like, we've been hearing rumors about WWE getting sold, going back 6, 7, 8 years ago. And then we went through it again during the pandemic era when we had the bloodletting of contracts. I think it's going to get sold. I still lean towards NBC Universal buying it, because it's already on the Peacock network. They're already the home of USA. So it'd be in-house content that they wouldn't have to pay, television rights to air. And then they can kind of control the marketplace when it comes to SmackDown on Fox. It just depends. If that Saudi team comes in and just blows away the marketplace, you know, with a cause, I just don't see how fans would be like, yeah, it's owned by the Saudi princes, like the Saudi government. So yeah, absolutely, let's keep backing it. I just don't see fans being excited about that. NBC Universal is kind of like my leading pick, though.
I don't think WWE would be sold. I think that they're going to go back to private. That way they can do whatever the hell they want again and not answer to shareholders or SEC, what have you, from a stock market standpoint. However, this is the first time that we have outright heard WWE knowingly share with the public that they are looking at a potential sale. According to reports, WWE hired JP Morgan to help the company advise on a potential sale. If a potential sale does happen, it is expected to take place in the next 3 to 6 months. Interested parties in possibly purchasing WWE include, as Dr. Trey just mentioned, Comcast, also known as NBC Universal, Fox, Disney. Nick Khan reportedly met with officials on Monday from Disney during the College Football National Championship game. Who knows if they actually talked about purchasing WWE, if it was just a catch-up. I would imagine that probably the subject was broached. Warner Brothers Discovery, the home of AEW, which is also in discussions right now being purchased by Comcast, aka NBC Universal, Netflix, Amazon, Endeavor Group Holdings, who own the UFC, Liberty Media, which owns Formula One, the Saudi Arabia Public Investment Fund. Dave Meltzer did report that there was smoke to this. There were reports, as we mentioned earlier, this past Tuesday, that they were sold to the Saudi Arabia Public Investment Fund. And like all hell broke loose on the internet. You heard reports that wrestlers were ready to walk from the company, that they weren't going to work for the company anymore because of this. I know when I woke up to that news, I did not see it late Tuesday night. That I saw it early Wednesday morning. I was like, oh, I don't think I could support this at all anymore. And then most notably, this evening in play, which I believe was from Barron, which is a subsidiary of Wall Street Journal. Their website reported Shad and Tony Khan, the owners of AEW, reportedly in play to be interested in purchasing World Wrestling Entertainment. I mean, Dr. Trey, those are some heavy, heavy hitters. A lot of those names are companies, entities that we've heard that would be interested in purchasing WWE the last several years. As you pointed out, this has been going on for a while. There is, I think Conrad Thompson mentioned that the reason why Nick Khan was brought into WWE was for an eventual sale of the company, and that he had been told from a very secure source, he said not Bruce Pritchard, that if Nick Khan was to carry out the sale of WWE, that he would get a monumental bonus of some sort for helping facilitate the sale. Lots of smoke right now, Dr. Trey. You think it's going to be sold to an organization or entity? I think it's going to go to I think it's going to go back to being a privately owned company. It seems like within the next 3 to 6 months, some sort of major change is coming to the business of WWE, which, I mean, that's when a sale is going on, it's evoking change. And that change evokes a lot of uncertainty. And you're heading into one of the most important time periods of your year in WrestleMania season. This does not feel great right now. This really does not feel great because, like I mentioned earlier on the show, there is a cloud hanging over World Wrestling Entertainment. And while I get it from a business standpoint, you just can't help to notice that it's bleeding over on the creative side and the product side slowly but surely as well. Boy, oh boy. I don't know how this ends up, but this is one of the most intriguing things we've ever covered here in the history of the podcast.
Yeah, and we just got done with our year-end awards where we sat there and went like, wow, 2022 is one of the most eventful years in history for us, where any one of these 10 news stories could have been, you know, a standalone story on its own. But meanwhile, you know, this may trump everything. Like, we mentioned this, I think it's probably been about a year, maybe a year and a half ago, about the possibility of WWE going private. Like if they went back to being private and they could kind of run their whatever content they want, they didn't have to answer the shareholders. And, you know, I always felt like Vince went public for the sake of Linda's political dreams. because then it was kind of like, hey, it's a publicly traded company. We have to kind of fit in. We can, you know, water down the product a little bit, not be as, you know, attitude like we were early, you know, in the heyday of the company. But when you see, and I'm air quoting here, you see the success of AEW and the diehard fans, and they're kind of getting the type of wrestling they want, and WWE can't do it because of the public outcry for being a publicly traded company. Like, there was all, like, in my mind, there was always that possibility that Vince just might buy up everything and go back to being private. But when you hear these stories come out and you hear all these people who are interested, like, it's literally, like you said, it's like the who's who of heavy hitters when it comes to, you know, media conglomeration. So, you know, some of those people that they've listed out there, I just don't see that happening. But, you know, there's some, I mean, Marvel would capitalize the hell out of this thing. The Walt Disney, you know, the Walt Disney Company with the way they brand everything. I mean, literally, like, I saw something post up, like, if Disney bought the company, how cool would it be to have the SmackDown Hotel at Disney World, you know, and you walk through a graveyard with The Undertaker to get into it. Like, I mean, that'd be kind of a Disney thing to do. And I heard the Khan family rumblings, but I just don't see how they can do it with the amount of cost they have out with all the other entities they own. Like, to me, they'd have to sell off AEW to buy WWE. But some of these ones are just heavy hitters, and some of them just kind of seem out of left field. But this is, you know, one of the craziest things that ever come across our table in the, you know, 12 years we've been doing this show, that, you know, not only did Vince leave, but now he's back to try and sell the company. Like, you could not have got me to buy this story, you know, a year ago, that this was going to be how it played out. There's no way I thought it was going to happen.
So, Dr. Trey, how are you approaching this entire situation right now? Vince McMahon being back, WWE being potentially sold. You're a longtime fan of professional wrestling. You've watched thousands of millions of hours of World Wrestling Entertainment programming over the years since you've been born, right? I mean, how are you personally approaching this entire thing right now? And how do you think wrestling fans should be approaching this entire situation? Because it's not fun, ultimately.
No, I mean, I'm literally looking at, like, I just got a notification that there's a runaway train. You know, like, I have no idea if they're going to be able to stop the train, if it's going to crash, if it's going to derail, if something heroic happens, a la, like, Superman shows up. To me, this is that runaway. It's a runaway train. You have no idea where it's going to end up. And as much trepidation as I have, just the intrigue alone has me hooked. And to me, it really comes down to, like, when they announce what they're doing, if they're going back being private, if it gets sold, who it gets sold to. Like, that's where I'm at. I'm just waiting to see what the end game is, because that's going to decide where my fandom goes. Like, I don't know. I'm not one of those, like, blood for oil, like, I hate all Saudis and all that stuff like that. But just on reputation alone, I just don't know how you can sell this company off. Like, this is the company that was the very first thing that was aired live after 9/11. Mm-hmm. And he might sell it to the Saudi government. Mm-hmm. Like, how that alone is one of the most mind-boggling things ever. Like, that just blows me away. And if that's the route it goes, you have to walk away from that. Like, you just have to say, nope, I'm done. Like, you had me bought in, you had me being a loyal fan for all these years, but if that's the route you're going to go, that means you absolutely give nothing, you know, you give no shits about your fans. It is literally about maximizing your profits. And although we live in a country that capitalism is king, like, I'll put up with a lot of stuff from products and brands I support when it comes to maximizing profits, because I get that. But that is literally, I mean, tribute to the troops for 20 years and possibly sold to the Saudi government. Like, that is literally just taking a dump on every single person who's ever supported this company.
Yeah, I mean, the Saudi shows in general always felt very, very meh from us. And now that is something that's on the table and nearly happened on Tuesday night that scared the bejesus out of everybody. It almost makes me wonder, Dr. Trey, if WWE leaked that story to see what the public interpretation was. I mean, that,
yeah, I mean,
I wouldn't put that past them.
I think you came around to my train of thought when I heard that. Like, I was like, this is them test running, testing to see what the feedback would be, to see what the fan reaction would be, to see what the SEC would do. Because any sale like this has to go through SEC filings.
Mm-hmm.
And what would they do if you're like, hey, by the way, we're selling this multi-billion-dollar company to a bunch of Saudi investors, and they're taking the company private? Like, what would the SEC do? Like, I mean, to me, that was them kind of throwing a couple cards on the table, still holding a couple in their hand, waiting to see what everybody would do.
I think that was
their bluff.
I think what's also lost in this entire thing, Dr. Trey, about the sale of WWE as well, is it – I don't think it's lost at all that should WWE be sold, right, it may never be the WWE that we knew and loved. There's a possibility, depending on the sale and the negotiations and the details and all that stuff, that no McMahon is involved, no family members involved, Triple H is no longer involved, and the WWE as we know it gets shaked from its core and just becomes this shell of its former self. I don't think, you know, with everything else going on and the weird cloud of uncertainty that is Vince McMahon being back in the company and the rumors of the sale itself coming to fruition and the discussion about it and the most serious of levels that we've ever seen and the company themselves coming out and talking about it. People that are, you know, huge names like Vince and Stephanie talking about it. I don't want to lose sight of the fact that if WWE is sold, it's possible that we may never be fans of the product again, depending on the decisions that the new owners make for the company as well. This is a really like shaky time for WWE, and it's all due in part to Vince, and it's all at the really, really bad time because I don't think we've had more fun watching World Wrestling Entertainment in the history of this podcast, nearly 13 years of doing this podcast, like we have the last 6 months. And we're very, very excited. Go back to last week's show. Very, very excited to see how this company was going to perform under Triple H's reign, the current reign that was going on, Nick Khan, Stephanie McMahon running the company, heading into WrestleMania season. So it's, yeah. I don't think we can forget that depending on who they sell it to, this, while it may be WWE in name and in likeness, it may never be WWE again in spirit either.
Let me ask you a hypothetical question, because I've known you for over a decade now. I know you're a Packer fan, but your heart and soul is the Yankees. In your entire life, a Steinbrenner has owned the Yankees. If they sold to a company from overseas, would you stop supporting the Yankees?
That's obviously a very wide net there that you cast for overseas.
Well, if the Yankees were sold to a Saudi company,
I think it'd be difficult. I absolutely think it would be difficult. I think I'll take your question and add a little bit more to it. There have been reports about the Yankees being sold and the Steinbrenner selling the company, and I think I have had a tough time, in the same way that I would with WWE, seeing the franchise owned by another family. And I would say the same thing by WWE, because with the McMahon family owning it or having control over it, I knew the product that I was going to get was the one that I've been accustomed to and has been improving upon and was exciting, and it's the brand of entertainment that I know and love. When a new owner comes over and takes over your favorite franchise, or a new owner may take over WWE, they're going to make changes that obviously resonate throughout the entire organization that they feel needed to be done. But there's also times where, from the outside looking in, that those changes affect the viewer, the consumer, and those changes aren't necessarily great. I mean, take a look at Twitter, right? The Twitter takeover by Elon Musk has been a total shakeup. I mean, we haven't seen any real changes to Twitter as a social media platform, and a social media platform that's been kind of meh at best over the last 5 years or so. But, I mean, that was such a huge hostile takeover that, I mean, they may not be in business by the end of this year. And that's always a possibility with a WWE. And if it's the Yankees, right, that the product may be really bad on the field and they're not that great anymore. It's change is difficult, right? And when you're comfortable and you know something that you really enjoy, and don't want to see it changed completely, and maybe you want to see tweaks like adding a new first baseman or somebody else in charge of creative, you know, you don't want to see the entire organization and franchise completely change, because sometimes that's too difficult for the consumer to take in. And most of the times, I know myself included, you just kind of would walk away.
Yeah, because I mean, so my favorite sports teams are the Cubs, the Lakers, and the 49ers, right? So Lakers and 49ers have been basically owned by the same families as long as I've been growing up. Growing up, a Cubs fan was owned by the Wrigley or the Tribune Company, you know, that had the Chicago Tribune, and then it sold to the Ricketts family. And I didn't know anything about the Ricketts family, so my thing was like, all right, hopefully you don't ruin it, but hell, we won a World Series. So, but, you know, if my Cubs are being sold to a company or an organization that completely was the opposite of everything that we've thought we've believed in and everything else, like, I might have a hard time supporting that. And that's, you know, when I mentioned the Yankees, in my head, like I said earlier, like, the prospect of WWE being sold to the Saudis, who, after everything this company has kind of stood for, you know, my 40 years of wrestling fandom, that would probably drive me away. Now, if WWE is sold to Disney or, you know, NBC Universal or whatever, I could probably take it in stride and say, hey, I'll at least give it a shot. But, like, there are certain entities that you just look at and go, this is the complete opposite of everything this brand I've supported has stood for. How can I buy into the new owners if it's, in my head, until you prove me otherwise, it's the complete opposite of where we should be going?
Yeah, it's a lot of uncertainty. It's strange. I guess the only thing that we can look forward to, Dr. Trey, is the stuff that we see on Fridays, the stuff that we see on Mondays, the stuff that we see on Tuesdays, and hopefully that this doesn't change the product around. It's just like you're walking on eggshells right now, and I don't even work for the company, but it's like we're waiting for the other shoe to drop. And I'm very – the thing that I'm most concerned about outside of like the sale itself and who it goes to is Vince coming back to creative, because it just feels like that – like, I'm bracing myself for that impact.
So, like, I was laughing in my head. I'm like, well, we're definitely not getting jobs now after everything we just said for the last, like, 30 minutes. We're definitely not going to work there. You know, and like I said, like, I'm nervous for a lot of those people that came back. Like, Friday night, are we going to see Karrion Kross in a gladiator helmet? Is Nikki A.S.H. going to have a cape? If I'm Roman Reigns, though, I come out on SmackDown and I drop Suffer and Succotash just to mess with the fans. Like, that's what I would do, just to mess with folks. Like,
yeah, throw up the ones and just say Suffer and Succotash, yeah.
Yeah. Like, Sami Zayn, Suffer and Succotash, how did we lose to Kevin Owens and John Cena? Like, I would drop that one at least.
Yeah, no, I'm make them think that Vince is back so that nobody watches the product anymore. Interesting situation that we will be seeing unfold definitely over a week-to-week basis here. I would be shocked if we don't have at least a pretty decent update on next week's edition of the podcast as we march towards the Royal Rumble. Let's switch gears here, Dr. Trey, to some actual professional wrestling, and we'll go over to the AEW realm right now. The Best of Seven series between Death Triangle and the Elite wrapped up last night with the Elite winning Game 7 at the Kia Forum and becoming the new AEW Trios champions, becoming two-time AEW Trios champions. And as we, I believe, almost sit here today, a longer reign than the first go-around post All Out 2022. Dr. Trey, did this Best of Seven series open the eyes of American wrestling fans to Trios wrestling?
It didn't me. I honestly had forgotten it was still going on. Like, I stopped paying attention to it. Like, and maybe it's, I don't know. Like, Trios wrestling is fantastic, but this rivalry really didn't do anything for me, because, like, I'm trying to get invested in storylines, and although the wrestling was great, it never grabbed my attention. Plus, the placements on the shows were all over the place. It was bad storyline writing, and it just never, like, the action was great, but it just never got me hooked because I never felt like the Bucks and Kenny Omega were not going to win this best of seven. So I guess it just never really hooked me in, and I couldn't sink my teeth into it.
I felt like the first couple matches were phenomenal and really, really a joy to watch. And then I want to say, I think AEW was in Kentucky at one point, and they got a very dead and bad crowd. And I don't feel like those matches were covered to the degree that I wanted to see them be. And even last night's ladder match, which I was really looking forward to, and I know our pal EJ, who's a longtime listener to the podcast, was like saying that we trash AEW all the time, that we'll find a way to call tonight's Dynamite trash, he actually put on Twitter. I just think that they didn't get enough time. It just felt very rushed. I was watching the clock. I watched it on DVR. I don't think that match started getting going until 15 minutes before the show was ending. And I felt like that match needed like 25 to 30 minutes to really let the fans enjoy everything they were doing. It just felt like a spot fest, and they looked like they were very, very rushed, which I felt like made game seven come off not as well as I had hoped it to be. If that make, did you feel that way? Did you feel like that there was a turning point at some point during this series? And even last night's game seven wrestling match was just like way too rushed.
All right, so this is not a shot at AEW. This is a shot at best of sevens. Like, there's a lot of best of sevens I've never really got into because after a while, it's kind of like, how do you change the matchup? How do you make it different? How do you make it, like, each match should feel fresh and able to stand on its own. And after a while, it's just hard to do. And that match last night, it felt like something else in the show ran long. And then when they got time for their match, they had to cut out they went for the dessert aspect of it. Like, hey, we got this big spot, this big spot, this big spot. And they left out a little bit of the intensity. Like, this is game seven. This is the last match to determine who the best, you know, trios tag team is. And it the intensity in what should be that game seven hockey, game seven NBA finals mentality is, just wasn't in that match. It didn't really click until the last maybe 5 minutes of the match. Like, everything else just kind of felt like they're just going through the motions to get to the finish of it. And when you do that, you're kind of shortchanging your audience a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm with you. It was, felt very rushed. I think back to my initial question, I did feel like this opened up the eyes to trios wrestling to me. I've seen trios wrestling. I didn't grow up in the South where the trios wrestling was going on. And I know WCW, I think, had titles or NWA had titles. But trios wrestling was kind of a thing that you just hear about in the indies, like in Chikara, or if it was taking place in New Japan. That's where I most recently was seeing some trios matches. But I felt like AEW over the last 4 or 5 months did a really good job of making trios wrestling a lot of fun. I'm a huge tag team wrestling fan, Dr. Trey, and I grew to really enjoy trios wrestling. So I think the right result took place. I thought Death Triangle had a great run as champions, the second champions, but the first true real champions carrying the torch for a decent amount of time. And I wouldn't be against if we see another elite Death Triangle match. But from the original question, I did feel like trios wrestling did have a big breakout over the last couple of months here in the eyes of American wrestling fans.
Yeah, and I'm hoping it does take out, because I'm with you. Like, I love tag team wrestling, and I grew up in watching World Class Championship Wrestling. They had the trios championship there, the six-man tag, you know, the Freebirds and the Von Erichs and teams like that. So it really was a lost art form. Like, I saw it more with, you know, the Lucha Libre promotions and then in the Chikaras, then, because I was never really a big, I didn't always have my eyes on the New Japan product. But, you know, for me, the only downside to this is this rivalry. Like, we didn't really see any other true six-man groups trying to be formed to be who the next challenger is. So once again, though, that's an issue we have with AEW, where you have so much talent and so many titles that are you really building up anybody underneath to come up and be the next challenger that fans can buy into? And I think that's the one thing they kind of sacrificed in this Best of Seven series.
Last thing I want to bring up here on this week's edition of the show, one of my favorite wrestlers not signed to WWE or AEW, a guy that I have been saying for some time that I feel like a wrestling promotion, WWE or AEW, should be building themselves around, is the one former IWGP World Heavyweight Champion, Jay White, Switchblade Jay White, current leader of Bullet Club. And he has a match with Hikuleo coming up at the new beginning in Osaka on February the 11th in a Loser Leaves Japan match. There were a ton of reports following that match that was saying that Hikuleo is going to be wrapping up with New Japan soon and could potentially be heading to WWE. But according to Fightful Select, it's actually Jay White's contract who may be expiring sooner than some have led to believe. It's reportedly coming to an end, quote, relatively soon, and both AEW and WWE have expressed interest in the two-time IWGP World Heavyweight Champion. Those within WWE are seemingly confident that he would choose to sign with them over AEW. WWE has reportedly expressed interest in White for well over a year before his second reign with the IWGP World title. While WWE's interest has been confirmed by White, he has stated in prior interview with Fightful that AEW had not approached him. At this time, the expiration date of White's contract is unknown, and White may choose to remain in New Japan Pro Wrestling. However, the company is seemingly expecting White to walk away. WWE nor AEW are reportedly allowed to have communication with White regarding his contract until his current deal with New Japan is done. He has worked in the United States prior to potentially signing with AEW or WWE once his New Japan contract expires, as he has wrestled two matches under the AEW banner this past summer, along with over 50 matches Ring of Honor in the years prior. Dr. Trey, Jay White is one of my favorite unsigned to a major promotion stars, U.S. major promotion stars that's available. There's like two young stars that I feel like in the next 10 years that I would want to build my wrestling promotion around if I had the money, that being Jay White and MJF. What do you think about this story here? I've been waiting to see when Jay White would potentially make a move to the United States and try to sign with one of the two major promotions in WWE or AEW. It seems like that time could be happening now. Do you think he walks away from New Japan? And if so, where do you think he ends up? And then the third part in this, what is the best place for him to end up?
I always love this. Thank you. These are my favorite questions. Like, where do I think he'll end up and what's the best place for him? Yeah, I mean, at some point, he's got to try to make the move. You know, like, New Japan's a great company to work for. I mean, you look at Kazuchika Okada and all the guys from Japan that have been there for, you know, 5, 6, 10 years and make a comfortable living at it. But a guy like Jay White, who, has an understanding of how America works, knows he can capitalize and probably make a greater income if he really buys into himself. If you had asked me this 2 weeks ago, I would have said he's probably going to sign with WWE and that'd be the best place for him to go. But the Vince stuff throws a wrench in everything because I don't know what the rules are now. I don't know if they're going to be signing folks or if they're going to be releasing people again. I have no idea. So we know he has a relationship with Kenny and the Bucks. He has a relationship with Adam Cole. We just saw Adam Cole come back on Dynamite, which was great news as well. I'm going to say he probably leans towards signing with AEW because at least there's a comfort level. And if you buy into Tony Khan and everything else, hey, you can, make as much money there as you could anywhere else. So I'm going to lean with AEW and who we should sign with right now, based on what's happened in the last 10 days, I'd probably say AEW also.
Yeah, a lot has definitely changed. When the story first broke, it was pre-Vince return. I think Jay White will sign with WWE. And I actually think his best, I'm going to be optimistic here. I'm hoping and praying to the wrestling gods that creative nothing has changed, will change in WWE. I think WWE is the best choice for Jay White. I think Jay White could get lost in the shuffle in AEW. We just saw Dragon Lee sign with WWE over AEW reportedly because he felt like he was going to get lost in the shuffle in AEW. He's seen Roosh, his real life brother, kind of get lost in the shuffle in AEW. Bandino just signed, and he's been intermittently being showcased in AEW right now, and he decided to go to WWE, where he's going to get a lot of shine in the NXT brand for a while. I don't think Jay White is NXT brand. I don't think that's the place for him to go, but I think Jay White going to WWE would have a very similar impact as when AJ Styles signed with WWE and his path from Royal Rumble to WrestleMania and everything that happened afterwards. I feel like that trajectory of Jay White would be very similar to when AJ Styles first came over to the company. So despite everything going on, I'm going to go the opposite of Dr. Trey. I'm going to say WWE is where he signs, and I think that WWE is the closest, is the best decision for him to make right now as well. And I'll just add this. Jay White, to me, watching him in the ring, is the closest thing that I've seen to prime Triple H ever out of any wrestler. I mean, you just get those Triple H vibes. You get that this guy is going to be a megastar. And despite everything we've talked about the last 50 plus minutes, and no disrespect to AEW, but in its present form, if you want to be a megastar, if you want to be big in pop culture, you go to WWE. And I truly feel like, and maybe this is a topic for another day, that I think Jay White could be the biggest star in professional wrestling 10 years from now. And that's even surpassing people like currently Roman Reigns and MJF. I just have a ton of belief in this guy, and I think that there's a world of potential for Jay White that I really enjoy watching him perform in the ring, on the microphone, the way he carries himself as a character. It's always been amazing work from him, and if you're not accustomed or know who Jay White is, go out of your way, get up to speed on him, because he is going to be, should he hit the market, the hottest free agent in professional wrestling, no disrespect to MJF, in some time. So it's boy, Dr. Trey, it's January 12th, and the year just kicked off. And if this is the first like regular show back, and these are the news items that we're discussing, 2023 is going to take everything that 2022 brought us, laugh in its face, and say, watch this, because we have quite the year ahead of us if these are the news stories that we continue to cover here on the Still Realty Show each and every week.
Yeah, in my head, though, when you were covering Jay White, all I could think was, EJ likes me more now than you, so, because I picked AEW.
Yeah,
so.
I mean, I know he was kind of, I guess he was, I don't know. He had tweeted out, EJ, our boy EJ had tweeted out, SRTU podcast will find a way to call tonight's Dynamite trash, laughing face emoji, still love you guys. I think we've just been very honest about the AEW product lately, Dr. Trey. I mean, how can you not? We're let down by everything that took place post All Out 2021. Like, that's one of our favorite shows we've ever covered in the history of the podcast. And we gave that AEW so much potential. We just can't help that they can't get their behind the scenes in order, and that creative has been in flux so damn much. I mean, with that said, the last couple of weeks of AEW programming have been great, and I really enjoyed the show in Los Angeles last night, but you just cannot dismiss that AEW isn't what it was its first couple of years since its inception. So that doesn't – we're not haters for AEW. We're just being realistic.
Well, you're not a hater. I'm just an old guy that yells at clouds.
Yeah,
so
Get off the lawn. So – all right, so that'll do it for this week's show. Let's get a couple plugs and spots out of the way. You can download the show every Thursday at realguyradio.com, WrestleChatNet on Twitter, and the Still Realty Show iTunes feed. Don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe to help us climb the charts on iTunes. You can follow us individually on Twitter, for myself at SRTUJeff, and for Dr. Trey Franklin at TheDrTrey. And, of course, don't forget to follow the show on Twitter at SRTUPodcast. With that said, what is going on in the wonderful world of Dr. Trey Franklin this week?
Well, like Jeff said, you can follow me on Twitter at the Dr. Trey. You can find me on Instagram and Facebook. Just search out Dr. Trey Franklin. When you're on Facebook, check out Rocket City Championship Wrestling, as we just had the Rocket City Wrestling Rumble this past Saturday. It's one of my favorite shows of the year. I actually posted the video up on the SRTU page as well, where you can hear me doing the ring announcing and handling color commentary all in one night. So it was nice to be back in the building for the first time really in 6 months. Hoping I can do some more work for them going forward as well. But be sure to go check them out. Go support your local independent wrestling show, because, you know, AEW probably gonna sign him. Vince hates independent wrestling, so go out there and check out the local show so you can stick it to the man.
So, you know, stick it to the man and support independent wrestling like you support the Still Realtho Show each and every week. Thank you for downloading this week's edition of the podcast. Spread the word about the Still Realtho Show. If you haven't done so, please go out of your way and leave us a nice little review. 5-star review, obviously, over on iTunes. Please do that. That really helps us out to climb the charts on iTunes, like I mentioned earlier. So if you could go out of your way and leave us a nice review, we would really appreciate it. Thank you so much for downloading. Until next week, when we continue to cover this crazy world that is professional wrestling and get closer to the Royal Rumble, for Dr. Dre Franklin, for Sammy Franklin, I'm Jeff Peck. This is the Still Realtho Show. Thank you.